Welcome to Triangle 411, the pulse that moves the Triangle world today. It's a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, what's trending, social good, events, and boundless other adventures. A conversation pit of comedians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. Although tennis lovers may play the sport any chance they get, and I'm sure they do, the season is sure ramping up right now. With over 23 million U.S. players, Triangle 411 wanted to lob some info about one of the sport's sore spots, tennis elbow. With us today to discuss the topic is Dr. Johnny T. Nelson. Dr. Nelson is a board-certified, dual-fellowship-trained shoulder and hand specialist practicing at the Bone and Joint Surgery Clinic in Raleigh. Welcome, doctor.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you and digest everything about this whole tennis elbow thing. I know a lot of people suffer from this, not only from playing tennis, but from other ways tennis elbow can happen. So let's start out by explaining what is tennis elbow. And actually, I think it has a few other names to it too, right?
That's right. So tennis elbow is kind of a layman's term in medical parlance or medical talk, right? We call it lateral epicondylitis. And so it's kind of a more fancy terminology that we use for it. And that just refers to the area of the body, the actual anatomic structure on the outside of the elbow there, that little bump of bone. If you run your hand over the outside of your elbow there, that little bump of bone is called your lateral epicondyle. And so it's also known as lateral epicondylitis. But you're right, tennis elbow, we call it tennis elbow, but a lot of patients, and probably the majority of patients that I see with this condition, actually don't play tennis.
Okay, so what are some of the symptoms?
Tennis elbow, it is very very core, right? It's a tendinopathy. And what that is, if you break that word down, tendinopathy, it's basically a tendon, right? And opathy, which is the main word there is path. So it's basically an abnormality or pathology or disorder of a tendon, right? And the symptoms of tennis elbow, some of your listeners, I'm sure, don't need anyone to tell them what those symptoms are because unfortunately they're suffering from those symptoms right now. But for those who have never experienced it, it is mainly a bad aching pain on the outside of the elbow. You feel it kind of around that little bony spot. If you have most patients point to it with one finger, they usually point a little bit further back, almost towards the back of the elbow. But typically, it's going to be that pain that is on the outside of the elbow there. It does extend along that kind of what we call the mobile wad, which is that fleshy kind of muscle on the back of your forearm. It can be a really deep ache there in that fleshy muscle there. And it can also extend even as far as the wrist. So in really bad cases, patients can report pain going all the way from the outside of their elbow all the way down the top of the forearm to the wrist. So that's kind of what the symptoms are, and they typically are worse with activity, right? So when you're trying to use that hand where you're having tennis elbow, if you're really unlucky, it's both sides. The symptoms that you have, the aching, the deep soreness in there, is worse when you try to do things that engage the muscles in there. So at its very core, as I mentioned, this is a tendon problem, and basically what it is a little area of micro tearing. When I say micro tearing, I don't mean the tendon is totally torn off of the bone or anything, but if you got an MRI, for example, you would see little micro tears in there, and in the rare situation where we do surgery, we do see little tears. And basically, those muscles, the tendons and muscles that are torn there, their function in the body and in the arm are the muscles that bring your fingers out straight. So not a flexed fist, not a fist, but bringing your fingers all the way out straight, and also brings your wrist back. And that motion is called extension. And we underestimate how much we do that on a daily basis when we're just using our hands for normal things, right? So if we're holding a tennis racket, for example, gripping something, and especially with the elbow out straight and the wrist back a little bit, we're actually engaging those muscles. We're firing those muscles at a really high rate. And so those activities tend to make the pain worse.
Mm-hmm. It does sound so very painful when you explain all the implications that are happening here. It makes sense. And I can see why some people are confused because, again, according to your explanation, it's not just centered in the elbow. So if it's going up the arm and tendons and things like that, people can think it's all kinds of things, really. But so if we're having this kind of pain and we think it's tennis elbow, who should we go to? Like, are we talking, you know, a physical therapist, a primary care physician, or who would be the best person to seek out for help with this?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good question, Mary. I think that this is one of those conditions that that I think patients can usually do a pretty good job at diagnosing themselves. Now, I don't necessarily recommend that patients diagnose themselves, but that kind of goes to the importance of seeing somebody who's a specialist. So, you know, I'm specially trained, dual fellowship trained in both shoulder and upper extremity surgery, hand surgery, elbow surgery, and also non-surgical care. And so I see this all day, every day, and I understand every single condition very thoroughly that that occurs in the arm. And so for me, it's very easy to ask a patient a few questions and perform a very quick physical examination, usually along with some x-rays, and tell them, yes, you have tennis elbow, or no, you don't, right? And so I tend to be a little bit more on the side of seeing a specialist to start is a good idea if you're unsure of your diagnosis, mainly because you can go down, you can diagnose yourself, and if you don't have the right diagnosis to start with, right, you're going to go down the path of that diagnosis to try to treat that thing, and you're going to get nowhere. You're going to be spinning mm-hmm. your wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
your money.
But exactly. And so you do need to be careful with that. But tennis elbow is one of those things that it's so common, and the symptoms are quite clear usually, that patients usually can diagnose themselves. And I would say it is safe to kind of start just about anywhere. So I see a lot of patients who start with a chiropractor. They start with a massage therapist. They start with a physical therapist, a hand therapist. They also, you know, there are a lot of great online resources. So just going onto YouTube and looking up some videos on how to make your tennis elbow better, there's some great resources out there to help patients kind of coach themselves through this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. It's always good to get some direction. But again, specialists as the need be, because, you know, you could almost hurt yourself in some ways if you go get physical therapy and it's not what it's called for. You could have kind of a reverse effect there. So I'm big on going to the proper person for whatever medical issue someone might have. I want to get into, because I know our audience is anxious to hear, but what the heck can I do about it? But before I do that, when we talk about the injections or surgery, first, how worried should somebody be if they have tennis elbow? I mean, is this something they're going to have forever? Is this life changing?
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be life changing, right? So not like the entire life changing, but it can certainly disrupt your life and can certainly affect your quality of life, because there are some people who have mild tennis elbow, but boy, can this condition really start to hurt people. And it can really kind of gnaw at you day in and day out, because just about everything you can imagine using that arm for, it can really bother you, and it can inhibit your activities and your quality of life. So in that way, there are different grades of it. Some people feel a lot more pain than others. You know, I would tell you that it's probably not something they need to worry about bothering them forever. So I don't want them to worry that they're going to have pain for the rest of their life. Typically, if you read most of the literature that hand surgeons and hand specialists and upper extremity specialists read, it will tell you this is what's called a self-limiting condition. It's benign, meaning that it tends to kind of, quote, burn itself out, end quote, right? So it doesn't typically bother someone for their entire life. The usual natural course of this is to flare up and to hurt you. How long that will hurt you is hard to say, but it's very rare that we see patients that have pain over a year. Sometimes you do see the occasional patient that's at 2 or 3 years still having pain, right? But that's kind of the exception to the rule. So I don't want your patients to worry that if they're having tennis elbow, your listeners rather, to worry that if they're having tennis elbow, that they're going to hurt for the rest of their life. And I also don't want them to worry that they're going to do damage by living with this condition. This is a condition where you will not do damage by kind of working through it, using different treatments and what we call modalities, which is ice and heat and stretching and different things like that, just to make it feel better so that you can kind of keep on keeping on, right, with your activities in your life and move on despite the condition and kind of power through it, right? That's always okay and it's safe to do. So I don't want your listeners, if they do have tennis elbow or they know somebody who has it, to worry that they're going to do damage to their elbow by kind of working through it.
Okay. So again, before we get into some treatments, it sounds like in some cases, at least, tennis elbow will just work itself out, might take up to a year, but you may never need treatment. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's a fair statement. And honestly, Mary, my role, what I always tell every patient that comes to see me with this is my role as a surgeon is mainly educational, meaning I usually, the majority of patients I see with this, my role is not to come at them with needles or with knives and surgery and things like that. My role is to teach them what this is. Number one is diagnose them, tell them what this is and confirm that, yes, this is in fact tennis elbow. You don't have another diagnosis. And my other role is to teach them about what it is, kind of why they're hurting, and what they can do to kind of make themselves feel better, right? Lay those options out in front of them so that they, as an educated patient, can pick and choose and see how aggressive they want to be and how aggressive that they need to be.
And I can tell you're very good at that because I almost feel we're getting kind of a little college course instruction as we talk back and forth, because you are explaining everything from, you know, A to Z and the medical side of it and the just, you know, personal, what can you do on your own aspect and so forth. So you're very, very good at this. And I appreciate that information for our listeners. But now let's say we get to the point where it's something we can't live with or it's more serious. I'd like to talk first about the steroid injections and then go into some cutting edge treatment, something maybe new out there, the most effective. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so first with steroid injections, steroid injections are, in my field, orthopedic surgery, very, very common. We use a lot of steroid injections for a lot of different conditions. And steroids are very good medications if you stand back and look at how much it has changed the field and changed a lot of conditions that we treat. The role of steroid injections, again, if you go back and look at all the patients who have this problem, there are some patients where, yeah, they have tennis elbow, but overall they're able to manage, right? They kind of power through it. It doesn't affect them, doesn't really slow them down a lot. And then there are the other patients who are just absolutely miserable, right? And it's really important as a surgeon and as a physician that we treat those patients and we don't necessarily have our blinders on about a lot of the evidence, right? So the evidence, if you actually read the evidence that we have in a lot of surgical journals and things, actually says that steroid injections, while they do provide a short-term benefit, in the long term, they don't really change the course of the condition, meaning that how long it lasts. Mm. And also, there's a few studies out there that actually show that patients who have steroid injections might not do quite as well. And again, that you got to take that for what it is, and it's just one or two studies here and there. But steroid injections, without a doubt, is a good option if you're absolutely miserable and you are just like, doctor, you know, I've got to work. I work full time. I work with my hands. I can't handle this. I can't sleep. I've got kids at home, you know, and everything I do hurts. A steroid injection is one of the quickest and the most simple ways of just bringing that pain down, right? I tell every patient that has a steroid injection in my office that, yeah, you know, the pain may come back, right? This will very likely either make this pain go away or make it significantly less. The question moving forward is, will the pain come back, right? So that's kind of the role of steroid injections.
That sounds almost to me like a Band-Aid fix as opposed to a, something more permanent.
Yeah. You can look at it that way. Now, and again, if you're looking at a problem that ultimately can kind of fizzle out on its own, well, sometimes a Band-Aid slapped on it until it fizzles out on its own may be the best option for you, right? Mm. And so my job is not to kind of push a patient in one direction or another. I want to make sure that that they get the kind of treatment that they need and really what they're looking for. But you're right, it is kind of a Band-Aid in terms of the steroid actually just diminishing their pain levels and their experience of that pain, right?
Okay, so if we need more, what do we got on the cutting edge here?
Yeah, so there's a few things, we may discuss surgery later on in the conversation, but in terms of kind of cutting edge, the newest things out there, so in the field of kind of regenerative medicine, there is quite good evidence about some modalities called PRP. So this is something some of your listeners may have heard of called platelet-rich plasma. And basically what platelet-rich plasma is an all-natural compound that actually comes from your own blood. So to actually get PRP, which is a liquid that we take and we actually inject under ultrasound in and around that tendon, to help it quiet down, and I can get it more into actually how it works. But basically what you do is you take some of the patient's blood, so it's a natural compound. It's not like a steroid that's an external chemical, right? This is something that comes from your own blood. And you actually prepare that blood to take all the red blood cells out, and you take the part of the blood that has what's called platelets in it. Platelets are basically little clotting factors that helps our blood clot when we cut ourselves. But those platelets have some chemicals and some hormones on them, not really hormones, but chemicals and proteins that are very active chemicals and proteins that when they're very concentrated, that's why it's called platelet-rich plasma, is that it's very concentrated platelets and very high levels of these compounds. If you inject it in and around the tendon where this pain is coming from, it actually initiates a healing response in the first 3 weeks after that. It swells, and there's actually a little bit of inflammatory response, right? Because what those compounds do is it brings your body's blood cells and other cells to the area and initiates kind of a healing process in the area that's kind of an inflammatory reaction. And after 3 weeks, though, that all quiets down, and what you're left with is a new elbow, right? Now, not completely new, right, but an elbow that feels significantly better, if not completely better, than it was before. And we do have very good head-to-head studies on platelet-rich plasma versus steroids where the platelet-rich plasma, also called PRP, does a lot better than the steroids. It's also a natural compound, so there's patients out there that are looking for more kind of natural regenerative options. It's a great option for them, right?
That's very, very interesting. And talk about cutting edge. That's great. So we're almost out of time here, doctor, but you mentioned surgery. Could you just tell us in brief something about that for tennis elbow?
Sure. So I did mention earlier that some patients, when they come and see me, those patients, number one, may be hurting a whole lot. Number two, they may have already had other treatments, whether that is anti-inflammatory medicines, physical therapy, doing stretching exercises, icing, a little brace, you know, all of these things, and they're still having problems. And they may have had steroid injections, and they're still having a lot of pain, and it's been 6 months, it's been a year, some patients even 2-3 years of this pain. Then I do talk to them about a surgical procedure. It's not a very big surgical procedure, and on its own, kind of the way that we look at it is quite a simple procedure, really. But it's called the Nurschel procedure, and it's a kind of a classic procedure. It's been around for probably about 50 years at this point. And the whole idea is we make a small incision over the outside of the elbow, and we actually go down to that tendon, right? Remember, this is a tendinopathy. And we actually, if you look at that tendon as a bunch of strings that are kind of going down the length of your arm, we actually make a little slice in the middle of that tendon and kind of open it up, almost kind of like a book. And if you open up that first layer and you look deep to that, you can actually see those little areas of micro tears and what we call it is kind of degenerated tendon that is, it almost has the appearance of crab meat in there. So you can actually pick it out pretty well. And then you do what's called a debridement, which basically is a surgical term for taking that degenerative tendon out of there. And you basically just clean all that tendon out. So all you're left with is some healthy tendon fibers. Usually we poke a few little holes in that piece of bone on the outside, and with the idea being that we want, you know, a little bit of bleeding into there. As I mentioned with the PRP, is our blood actually has growth factors and things in it that kind of help the healing process begin. And so we poke a few little holes in that, and then we close that little tendon split that we made at the beginning. The patient does have to it's not a big procedure. They go home that same day, right? They do have to avoid any heavy gripping for about 4 weeks after that. But they can get back to light use of their hand pretty much right away with, you know, feeding themselves or eating and drinking and gentle things like that, like going to the bathroom and dressing, but nothing heavy like lifting weights or, you know, opening and closing heavy doors and things like that. So it is a procedure that has it's tried and true. It does work. And typically we reserve that for patients who really have tried all options and those options have failed.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm sure you have helped a lot of our folks listening in today. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Nelson.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
That was just so much information. I hope it helps some people suffering out there. I know it's, you know, we call it tennis elbow, but it happens to folks that don't play tennis. You can have these aches and pains and still get relief. So I appreciate Dr. Nelson being here. But for right now, it's time to high five and say goodbye. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today's pocket, spare some change in the world.